When people start to realize the arousal, the rush of those chemicals and the arousal of that energy, let's just say it begins, we become junkies. Mm. And people use the problems and the conditions in their life to reaffirm their conditioning or addiction to that emotion. That means they become addicted to the life they don't even like.
I believe that each and every one of us has the power within ourselves to create the life that we really want. And I want to help give you the tools to make that happen. I'm Danica Patrick, and I'm pretty intense. Today, in part two of the Joe Dispenza interview, we start off by talking about these amazing seminars that he puts on for 7 days, advanced workshops on how to create heart and mind coherence and energy and frequency. And then we get more into the consciousness of life and how your mind affects the reality around you and how you can manifest and live your best life. Please enjoy. We've alluded to it a lot, but you do a lot of workshops. And I think it would be good for everyone to know what happens at these workshops. Mm-hmm. I mean, the takeaway is going to be probably pretty obvious, but tell me what it looks like. If I signed up for one of your workshops, they're between 4 and 7 days long?
No, most of them are 7 days.
Most are 7 days. Yeah. Good. I'm an all-in kind of person.
Yeah, so. I mean, look, I mean, when we were doing our 4.5 day ones, Danica, we were just getting people to that amazing point where they started having great breakthroughs. Mm. We had to send them home. Oh, I said to my staff, 3 more days.
Yeah.
What would happen if we had them? 3 more days.
Okay.
Now.
I want to go. Tell me what's going to happen.
Yeah. So in order for you to go to a week-long event, you have to do the online progressive, which is a 9-week course. I don't teach them anymore because I can't be there, you know, in all the places.
So you can do it online.
So you do it online. Okay. With that comes an intensive. We give you that for, you know, as a gift. And once you do that progressive and you practice the blessing of the energy centers meditation, you practice finding the present moment. You practice learning how to tune in and change your energy to create that kind of heart state. You practice signaling new genes in new ways. You understand the research. You understand the science. Mm. Now you're on the slopes.
Okay, because you started with doing small, like the shorter 4 days, and they were like level one, and then you graduated.
Right.
So you're only doing 7 day advance now.
Yeah, because
that's why you have to do the online program, because you're like, look, we can go so much deeper and make such a bigger difference.
Yeah.
So okay.
we just finished an event in Portland just this week, and again, it was outstanding. Unbelievable changes in people's health and their life. So they come on the first day, and they get oriented, and they meet with, we have team leaders for every 65 people, because they're managing people answering questions or taking them to the challenge activity. So they have someone that they can work with at the end of every day.
Okay.
So then when I start off, and we start off with the understanding, building a model, on the first day, mostly just information, getting everybody thinking the same way, inspiring them on what's possible.
Okay.
And then the second day is all about overcoming yourself.
Oh, good.
And that's the important day.
Yeah.
Because once you overcome yourself, and we give you numerous, when I mean numerous, I mean numerous opportunities to overcome yourself, and we give you numerous opportunities to connect to that field. And so we build this really solid model, and that first day, becoming nobody, no one, no thing, nowhere, and no time, taking all your attention off your body, off of all the people in your life, all the things you own, all the things you know about, all the places you live, places you need to be, and time itself, and become pure consciousness. And we teach people how to apply that formula.
And own your shit, right? That's what that part's about,
right?
Well,
you come right up against it, and this is where most people go, I'm going to get on my cell phone and call, so I'm going to get on the computer, because they don't want to. They don't want to go past that point. But you know what? When there's 1,000 people sitting there and everybody's sitting there, you start moving through. And then all of a sudden you get into that unknown. You go a little further. You realize you did okay. You're satisfied with yourself. You go a little bit further. You're creating more brain coherence.
Is there a lot of crying going on?
Sometimes. Yeah. Sometimes. But the crying is usually huge release of
energy. Oh, yeah. No, it's a joy.
Yeah.
It's like a relief.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then we start teaching people how to create. We start giving them the science of how to create from the field instead of from matter. And then they make mind movies of their future. And we use a specific technique to create trance so that they can begin to practice changing their brainwaves with their eyes open so they're more suggestible to their mind movies that they're watching, which are movies of their future, where they star in those movies and they get fired up and there's a song that goes with it.
They start to imagine into their life. They dream up their best life.
Exactly, exactly. We have challenge activities, again, putting people in those situations. We do blessings of the energy centers. We do three walking meditations. There's four types of meditation. There's a seated, a standing, a walking, and a laying down. And we want people, when they come to a week-long event, to retreat from their lives, to begin to walk like that person, to embody the energy of that person, to become that person. It's not about your wealth. It's about your health or your new relationship. It's who you become in the process, and you got to overcome yourself in order to become someone else. So by the second half of the week, there's a momentum. There's an entrainment going on. We do work, quite a bit of work with opening our heart with gratitude, and because gratitude means that something's already happened. And then we teach this new thing called coherence healings, and it's really, again, similar to what you witnessed with the tumor shrinking in the person's bladder. We do that, and by the end of the week, there's such coherence amongst 1,000 people or 1,500 people that you witness, literally, as I said, tumors disappearing, people stepping out of their crutches. It's insane, and it's way bigger than me. And we do 2 days at the end to awaken the dormant system, the latent system of the brain for the mystical. I'm very, very passionate about connecting the science or the physics of the field with the biology of our brain and what system creates that transcendental moment. So we have four states of consciousness. We have wakefulness, we have sleep, we have dreaming, and we have the transcendental moment, that lucid moment where you're more aware, you have a vision that's more real than where we're sitting right now. And what is the brain chemistry behind that, and how does that system get switched on? So we do 2 days where we teach people how to get that transcendental
moment. Do you teach transcendental meditation then too?
No, not at all. Again, we use what we know from the science that we studied, and there's a latent system in the brain, once activated, that transduces information or energy from the field into profound imagery in the brain. And it's better than ayahuasca, let me tell you.
Wow.
It's the very same chemicals, but plus some other really most amazing chemicals.
Are you activating the DMT in your, because we all have it in our system.
Oh no, you have receptor sites, means you have it, or the brain's capable of making it. So melatonin gets an upgrade when the system switches on, and it produces very, very big biological changes in the brain, and the person is not the person they thought.
Sounds like I need to do this class now.
You should come.
No, I would love to, because I seek truth.
Mm-hmm.
That's it, and growth. Like I from a young age would go to the bookstore and sit in the self-help section, and I remember thinking to myself, why am I trying to read these books? They're really hard to read, and they're not they're interesting. Of course, I'm drawn to that category. But it'd be a lot easier probably to read some kind of like romance novel, but I was in no way intrigued by that.
Yeah.
And it's now that I'm 37 and this was 20 years ago, I understand. It's the immersion is hard. And I think that's probably what is so beautiful, is that there's so much more information now, and being able to listen to a podcast with you on it, or watch a YouTube video, or see something where you're talking or someone else about this stuff, and it is that immersion that never underestimate the power of planting a seed with somebody. And so it's been like that for me since I was a teenager, but now I get it and why I was so interested in it. And so I would probably love to do this. And
you're invited.
Yeah.
As my guest.
Thank you. Well, that would be, wait, I can skip the online thing? I go straight to the...
We'll send you the online. Do the online, because you'll love it.
I would. No, it's probably, it's absolutely part of
but
the growth.
But here's what I want to say to you. I think you already know how to do this. And I think most of us, at one point in our life, has done something amazing, something really, really outstanding. And people, when they do that, they just get a vision of their future. They get clear on what they want. And then they start feeling the emotions.
Yeah.
And so you're a passionate person.
Yeah.
When you feel the emotion, then you're there. Then it's just a matter of skill. It's a matter of repetition, staying in that state, right? And then when it arrives, then you correct even more. You get even more refined. You're going to take that same type of intensity, that intensity that you love, and you are going to apply it inwardly now.
Yeah.
And those people that are, well, we have a lot of doctors, CEOs, we have a lot of very successful people that come and they say, oh my God, I'm just doing what I already know how to do, but I'm doing it this way. I'm going to put the same intensity behind it because they have certain skills that they've developed from the sheer practice of being present.
That's
you can't
right.
not be present driving at that speed. You can't not be present and staying aware while you're doing it and coordinating your mind and body. I mean, there's a lot of things that go on. So, well, for example, when we do the walking meditation, you see a lot of people that are actors or athletes. Ooh, they do the walking meditation and they become that person because they leave the old person. And in 1 hour, the person has a new heart. Their heart condition's gone. They're not walking with their crutches. I mean, we see dramatic changes in 1 hour because they're not the same person that started. They're literally at the end of that walk, somebody else. Someone like you, you have that kind of passion, you would excel.
It's literally how I work my life. I imagine the furthest extent of it. I imagine the furthest, loftiest dream available in my mind, and that's what I strive for. I don't just walk for nothing. Mm. I have a vision and I see it through. So even with racing, I, you know, always said that I have this goal way out here and it's like a beacon and I don't really care. It's like, it doesn't matter how I get there exactly. Like I'm not stuck on one little detail being, if this isn't right, nope, doesn't matter. It's way out here and there's a lot of ways to get there.
And
right?
sometimes
You're
the way
the
you
right
think
direction.
It is not the way.
right. You just hold the vision of what it is that you want.
Excellent.
And so,
that's exactly how it is.
Well, I think that there's so many people that could benefit from it if they're willing to take time. And I feel like I'm one of them. So one of the things that you talk about a lot, and this is shifting towards more of the consciousness part of all of it, which is, you know, it's within it all because it all really comes from the mind. But one thing I think that is so intriguing is how you explain the addictive nature of stress, because it is so true, and I am a victim of it myself, of how you just repeat a thought over and over again, and then, you know, this victim mentality or this negative thought, you like a MacGyver go to war, and you'll find every bit of evidence to support that thought because you want to be right.
Right. Justified or not.
Justified or not.
Valid or
not. Absolutely. I just need the evidence. I will search high and low.
But justified or not, evidence or not, valid or not, it's going to weaken your brain and body because the body can't live in an emergency like that. So when people start to realize the arousal, the rush of those chemicals and the arousal of that energy, let's just say it begins, we become junkies.
Mm.
And people use the problems and the conditions in their life to reaffirm their conditioning or addiction to that emotion. That means they become addicted to the life they don't even like, right? But they don't know that they're doing that. They're just looking for the next knee jerk to produce the arousal because it makes them wake up for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is that you begin to direct blood flow out of the forebrain, out of the thinking brain, the rational brain, and into the hindbrain, the reactive brain. So people then, you can turn on that stress response just by thought alone, thinking about your problems, and you can become addicted to your own thoughts.
When you explain that as being an addiction, it makes sense because you're like, why would I want to think a bad thought? Oh no, because you're addicted to it.
Yeah.
Like it creates a hormone, a rush.
Exactly.
And that was like an epiphany of like, oh, no wonder. No wonder you go to that thought because it triggers something within the body that you're... you're addicted to.
Sure.
And it feels good, right? Are you saying that it feels good?
It feels good to feel bad sometimes.
Feels good to feel bad sometimes.
Well, it's an addiction. If I saw you unhappy or I saw you angry, I said, hey, Danica, why don't you stop being unhappy?
Yeah.
Why don't you stop suffering? Why don't you stop being angry? You'd say, are you kidding me? Let me tell you all the reasons why I am this way.
Let me go down that path.
Yeah,
let me deepen those transmitters. Let me make a few more here.
But it's an important thing to realize, because the antithesis is also very important, which means, let's say you're addicted to anything.
Yeah.
What's going to happen? Addiction is when your body's become the mind. When you've taken something to change your internal state, right? And you rely on that outer thing to change your inner state. So now all of a sudden, let's say you're addicted to, I don't know, coffee or sugar or alcohol, whatever. And you said, today I'm going to stop having this sugar, this coffee. And you come into my office and I'm sitting there, I got a big cup of coffee there, I got a big sugar donut, I got powder all around my mouth. I say, hey, you want a little bit? If your body has been conditioned in that state, it will, listen to this, it will begin to talk to your mind. It'll say, come on, take a bite. What's wrong? It's just a little bite. You know, you start tomorrow, he's having some.
Yeah.
You would be assaulted with those thoughts.
Yeah.
Your body's driving your mind. That's not your mind. You said 2 hours earlier you were gonna stop. So then if your body's doing that, then the next thing that happens is you start imaging, your body starts automatically, physiologically starts to produce digestive juices, starts to salivate. It's already in the experience, right? And that's where the person has that tug of war, right? So then you break the addiction to coffee and sugar. You come into my office and I'm drinking a cup of Joe and I have a big donut. You would want it or not want it. So then what's the significance of that? Let's just say that you're antagonistic and you're bitter and you're judgmental. That's the person's personality. And they get a rush off of that. And all of a sudden they say, no more blaming, no more complaining, no more judgment, no talking trash about anyone, no more gossip.
Yeah.
I'm going to stop today.
Yeah.
Well, goes really well for the first 2 hours and the body's going like, hey, you're off schedule. Usually check emails around 10 o'clock and judge everybody. You're just going to stop that all of a sudden. So person sits in their meditation now. Listen to this. Every time they're sitting in their meditation, they're already in the habit of thinking and feeling that way. And so they're sitting there in meditation, the first 10 minutes goes by, and all of a sudden they start getting frustrated, they start getting impatient. Ah, they become aware that they're doing that. They don't quit, they stop. They return back to the present moment. They relax their body and unfold back into the moment. Guess what? That's a victory.
Yeah.
Then they say, the body wants to get up because it's been programmed to be busy and it wants to move, and you become aware your body wants to do that. The person who's programmed like this on autopilot to do the same exact thing every day in routine, they've lost their free will to a program, and their body's dragging them into that future.
Yeah.
So now the body's so strong it's wanting to move. You, hey, come back here. You keep returning it back to the present moment. That's another victory. You keep doing this like training an animal. The body is just going to realize it's no longer the mind. And in that moment, there'll be a liberation of energy. That's when the body finally surrenders, right?
Mm.
That's super important because that's a release of energy. And now, that's available energy for the person to heal with. That's available energy now they can use to design a new future. The body's literally letting go of the fear, letting go of the aggression, letting go of the anger, letting go of all those emotional states. And so now, what's the significance of that? So now you lowered the volume to that emotion, return back to your life. Just like the sugar donut and the coffee, you broke the addiction, you're gonna have no tug. There you are in front of your boss, in front of your ex, in front of your greatest adversary that threw you under the bus. And now you sit in the presence of them instead of automatically, physiologically returning into the old state. You've mastered that emotion, you broke the addiction. You'll see a part of you that you used to be, that you no longer are, and you'll no longer have an aversion. You'll just understand that person's suffering. Now, that's freedom. That means you no longer belong to your past. Now you're free. You belong to the future, and people do that.
Projection, mirroring, all these concepts were so foreign to me years ago, and now you understand. You just said you'll see yourself in someone, and I think those are also powerful concepts to understand, that the way we treat someone is because of our own insecurity, and then you'll also see yourself in other people.
So it's the way it is. I mean, unhappy people who are unhappy will try to make other people unhappy.
Yeah,
that's just what they do. People who are miserable to themselves will be miserable to others. People who constantly judge themselves will constantly judge others. People who are abusive to themselves will be abusive to others. People who are happy with themselves.
Why do we do that?
Well, because there, we're back to the addiction. When you're happy with yourself, you're happy with others. When you love yourself, you love others. When you're grateful for who you are and what you've done, you're grateful with others.
But you do it to people you love.
Well, yeah, because you know why? Because we're back to that knee-jerk chemical reaction that gives the arousal to the brain. People are not conscious they're doing that. They're just doing it because it's no different than dropping a little heroin, a little Valium into the bloodstream. Oh, there I go, I'm back.
Why aren't we taught about this in school? Why isn't there a class that helps you understand all of this?
I would say when I was in school, I saw the research that said the latest research takes 17 years to wind up in the textbooks.
To like get cleared through everything and
so
go through.
You know, we're studying antiquated history. You know, now information, you know, the younger generation knows how to find information. And I think more and more people are awakening to a new understanding. And of course, we didn't have the understandings 10 or 15 years ago that we have now, just in most areas of science. There's a quickening going in every area, and people are becoming very informed about it. So the information creates awareness. Awareness creates consciousness. Consciousness has energy, and there's a different energy on the planet right now. And so old paradigms are falling away because people now can see from a different place.
Yeah, yeah. Another thing that I think is extremely interesting is how you explain that, you know, the mind can't tell the difference. Basically, I heard this a long time ago and I was like, I haven't researched it. I don't know. I'm like someone that will be willing to repeat something but also caveat it with, but I'm not sure if this is true or not. But the way that I would have said it, you know, years ago was that the mind can't tell the difference between a truth and a lie. And that is essentially true. The difference between an actual event that happened as a memory versus one that you've created through imagination and dreaming. And what did you call it in the workshops? Your movie?
A mind movie, yeah.
Mind movies?
Yeah, it's...
Why is that?
Oh, that's a good question. Well, your brain is a record of the past. It's an artifact of everything you learned and experienced to this moment. Mm-hmm. It's a memory bank of knowns that create your identity, your personality. So then most people wake up in the morning, the first thing they do, they start thinking about their problems. Mm-hmm. Those are problems that are literally etched in their brain with certain people, certain things, certain objects, certain times and places. The moment they start remembering their past, they're thinking in the past. If you believe that your thoughts have something to do with your destiny, you're going to create more of your past. In fact, 90% of the time. But here's the important part. When you're seeing that image, you're producing the same chemistry in your brain and your body as if the event was happening. So thoughts are the language of the brain, but feelings are the language of the body. The moment you start feeling unhappy, now your body's in the past. Mm. And how you think and how you feel creates your state of being. So most people start their entire day with their entire state of being in the past. Now they're in the familiar past, that's the known. They will crave the predictable future. Hmm. That's more of the known. So they'll
run because it's less effort?
Just because they want to predict the feeling of everything to stay safe. The unknown is a scary place.
Right.
So they run through a routine, a habit on autopilot, right? So then if you're not being defined by some vision of the future, you're left with the memories of your past, mm-hmm. yes? Mm-hmm. If you're not in love with your future, mm-hmm. that means you're more in love with your past and you'll mm-hmm. you'll stop creating. So when a person gets truly focused, and athletes and performers like you understand this, you spend a certain amount of time when you close your eyes, you start mentally rehearsing what mm-hmm. you're doing.
Yeah.
Every move, everything. Yeah. And when you're truly present and truly focused, your brain does not know the difference between the actual experience in your life and what you're imagining inside of you. It's called mental rehearsal. An example, they took a group of people that never played the piano before. Mm-hmm. They divided them into two different categories. In one category, they said, we're going to teach you one-handed scales and chords. You come for 2 hours a day. You practice for 5 days. We'll scan your brain at the beginning. We'll scan your brain at the end. And we'll see if you're making any changes in your brain. So these people show up. They practice the scales and chords for 2 hours. At the end of 5 days, they have a whole new set of circuits on the opposite side of the brain. Nothing new there. You learn something new, you make connections, you get some instruction, get your body involved, you enrich the experiences in your brain.
Mm. You so repeat learning it. To play the guitar is a good thing for
it's
me.
It's a great thing good. For your brain. You repeat it, you pay attention, new circuits in your brain. Take another group of people instead of them actually physically playing the scales and chords, have them close their eyes and play the scales and chords and mentally rehearse them. At the end of 5 days, they had the same amount of brain changes, same number of circuits in their brain, as if they were physically playing the activity, the piano. So now their brain looked like the experience has already happened.
Wow.
So you're priming your brain from the past. It's no longer a record of the past. Now it's a map to the future, and your body will begin to instruct your mind. Take a group of men, have them close their eyes, and rehearse doing bicep curls for an hour
a
day. An hour a day, Cleveland Clinic, an hour a day for 2 weeks, stronger, harder, more intense. At the end of 2 weeks, 13.5% increase in muscle strength, never lifted a weight. Now, the body looks like it's been in the experience. Now, listen.
Oh, so your muscle can't grow.
Well, they're stronger.
Okay.
Stronger, 13% stronger in 2 weeks, just by adding an emotional component.
Wow.
So now the body doesn't know the difference between the actual experience and what the person is imaging. Now, that's exactly how we begin to take a person from one state of being to another state of being.
Mm.
In fact, the more you mentally rehearse, the more you're changing your brain into the future. Your brain's remembering the future. And the stronger the emotion you feel when you do it, the more altered you feel inside of you, the more you pay attention to what you're imaging. And now you begin to remember your future. You're creating a long-term memory. Just like when you have a strong emotional event from your past, the stronger the emotion you feel, the more altered you feel inside of you, the more you narrow your focus on the cause. The brain takes a snapshot, and that's called a memory. And people think neurologically within the circuits of that past experience, and they feel chemically within the boundary of their emotions. And now that's their state of being. So do the same thing now, but instead of having it being an outer event, use your brain and use your body, or use your coherent heart, coherent brain, and begin to combine a clear intention with an elevated emotion. And when you do that properly, the stronger the emotion you feel, the more you pay attention to the pictures, and now you're priming your brain and body into a future. You're changing your state of being. And now you keep doing that every day. You downregulate genes for disease, you upregulate genes for health. The person goes from being unhappy, impatient, frustrated, to being happy for no reason at all. Like, they're no longer relying on anything out there.
Well, it's your new pattern. It's your new routine.
It's your new state of being.
It's your new state of being. It's your new personal reality.
And keep doing it. And then all of a sudden, there's the side effects. The synchronicities, the coincidences, the serendipities, the opportunities.
Thoughts become things.
Then you begin to create synchronicities because now your energy is synchronized.
Yeah, I'd love for you to talk about that. How can we, I think this is a good way to kind of wrap it up. How can you recognize when you are having these changes happen and what your regular world may look like? I mean, this could be anything from, like, you know, you change your job to, you know, people disappear in your life to new ones reappear. You're at the grocery store in line and you meet the person you need to meet because you need somebody to help you with something. Like, what does it look like when you really start to synchronize your heart, your energy, your emotional state with your intentions, your heart coherence, like
brain coherence?
Tell me what my world looks like to make me go, Danica, you're on the right path.
Yeah, so when they're, I know, I mean, I've been doing this long enough to tell you that nobody changes until they change their energy.
Right.
And when you change your energy, you change your life. It's the way it is. So when there's no, when you stop using your enemy to reaffirm your addiction to hatred, when you stop using your best friend to reaffirm your addiction to suffering, when you stop using your Facebook to reaffirm your addiction to insecurity, when you stop that whole process and you start going inward and you're no longer relying on those outer things to create those emotions, and you start creating those inner emotional states, you start changing your energy. Now, whatever is no longer a vibrational match between you and that past, present reality is going to fall away.
Right.
They're just going to spiral out because you're no longer putting your attention on them. In other words, the stronger the emotion you feel with some problem in your life, the more you give it your attention. Where you place your attention is where you place your energy. You're giving your power away, your life force, your energy to heal to that person or that problem.
Yeah.
Lower the volumes of that emotion, you take your attention off that person, you're calling energy back to you, and you're building your own electromagnetic field. We've seen the evidence of that in many events because And people start overcoming themselves the first day, not always, but the energy of the room will drop. Why? Because they're drawing from the field to build their own field. Now when they build their own field the next day and the fields start interfering with the people next to them, whoop, the energy in the room just keeps going up, yeah, right? Yeah. So now there's no longer a vibrational match between you and your coworker, you and your job, you and your boss. Be prepared. Yeah. Because that old known thing is going to fall away because yeah. you're no longer emotionally and energetically connected to it.
Right.
So then when you get in that state, it's not a time to try to put it back together. Because at the same time these things are unraveling and they're moving towards chaos, and chaos is just unpredictable order.
Right.
It's novelty. The newness of an experience that you can't predict is chaos. If you apply the formula, and all potentials in the quantum field exist as electromagnetic potentials. They are possibilities. So now you're going to combine a clear intention with an elevated emotion, the thought being the electrical charge, the feeling being the magnetic charge. You begin to open your heart. It begins to produce that broad field. You lay the thought of a new future into there. Now you're changing your energy. When they begin to synchronize coherently, your brain and heart, you got a strong Wi-Fi signal because now you're putting out a very laser coherent signal,
right.
When there's a synchronization between your energy and that potential that exists in the future, but it really exists in the present moment because that's where they exist in the quantum. Now, you start to see synchronicities in your life because you're synchronized to a future and they come as, opportunities.
That?
Wow, that was kind of cool. And those are breadcrumbs from the field, like keep going, keep going, you're on to something.
Yeah.
So the problem is that people, they do it and then they get up and then they get react in traffic or they get frustrated and they start feeling the emotions of the past.
Why are you talking about me?
They start feeling the emotions of their past, and you know what happens?
Yeah.
They just disconnected from the energy of their future and they're back to the energy of the past. Don't expect anything to change in your life. In fact, expect more reasons to be frustrated. But if you catch yourself, you take a breath, you get back into brain and heart coherence, you tune back in, well, you're not going to go unconscious.
That's a victory. That's a victory.
So then the key then is to be able to keep synchronizing to the point where it begins to become familiar. And the word meditation means to become familiar with.
Mm.
So now you're in a new familiar state of being, and people say, I'm really not doing anything. You know, of course, you're doing the work. You're becoming familiar with a new set of thoughts, new set of intentions, a new set of emotions. Your heart's opening more. Your immune system's upregulating. Your genes are upregulating. Your brain and heart are more coherent. Your energy field is bigger. You feel connected more. All these things, you're changing programs. You start seeing those things taking place in your life. You're going to want to do this, right? It's not going to be effort.
100%.
Now, live by the hormones of stress. The hormones of stress cause us to draw from this field and turn it into chemistry, heightens our senses, we become materialists, we narrow our focus on the cause. Now, when we create reality, now we're living in three-dimensional reality. The way we do it is we got to drag our body through space from one point of consciousness where I am to my future, my dreams, another point of consciousness, and that's going to take time. So creating from three-dimensional reality takes time. When you create from the field, you no longer play by the rules of Newtonian physics.
That's fifth dimension.
Yeah. Now, all of a sudden, you're going to collapse that one point of consciousness towards you when you're creating from the field. You're creating from the source.
Time and space are no longer
You're going to collapse time because you're collapsing two points of consciousness. You're going to collapse space, and you're going to draw the experience to you. Now, I would say that's much better, and it'll happen in a shorter amount of time. So teaching people the fundamental principles of how to do this, the more connected they are to the field, the shorter amount of time it takes for them to appear in their life. But they feel all day long that it's already happened because they're conditioning their body emotionally into the future, which means the moment you lose the feeling of your future, you start looking for it because you feel separate from it. But if you feel it, why would you look for it? Because you feel like it already happened. That's when the magic happens.
Boom, that's an epiphany right there. Like, whoa.
That's when the magic happens.
Yeah, when you look for it, you're not feeling it.
You're separate from it, yeah.
Huh.
So when people start learning how to, we have documentation that people in this work can sustain heart coherence for 45 minutes to an hour. They know that they know how to do it.
Okay, well, one final thought. Like, you talk about fifth dimension, third dimension, time, space, reality, quantum, creating. I mean, what are we here for? Like, have you ever asked yourself that question?
Yeah, I ask myself that question all the time. I think we're here, honestly, after studying so many different modalities, is to remove those masks, those mm-hmm. layers, those emotions, those habits that block the flow of the divine in us.
Okay.
And when we start opening up and starting connecting to it, we become more like it. We become more giving. We become more loving. We become more conscious. We become more willful. We become more mindful. Its nature becomes our nature. We become more like it. And the side effect of that, of course, is a change in our biology, then ultimately a change in our life. We're here to create exactly what we want. And then when we have it and we experience it, when we're done with it, let's create another one.
Beautiful. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks, everybody, for listening to the Pretty Intense podcast today. I hope you enjoyed it. And also, thank you so much, Trevor Hall, for the awesome music. If you like what you heard today and you want to hear more, please click on the subscribe button.